ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Since a guy talked over a record like this. For real, why would you leave us? Oh, because you had to? Because of the Constitution? But you can come back, right? Oh, you can't? Because that would undermine the very institutions that we barely holding on to as it is? I see. I guess we stuck with this dude for a while then. Maybe you can come back and make a speech. How much would that cost? For real? Oh, no, we definitely can't afford that. So I'm just getting rained on for nothing. That's interesting. Well, you enjoy your retirement, homie.
Come back for us.
Super bad.
2020's looking sad.
Maybe Michelle could run.
Like really sad, like super sad. What the hell we gonna do sad?
No, let's not put Michelle through that.
Come back, Barack.
But if she wanted to,
I vote for Joe Biden.
But what about George Clooney? I mean, that dude was Batman. That'd be cool. You know what? I don't think the three of us have the firmest grasp on government. But hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 189 of the Spann Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. I had to do it, man. You know what? They hit everything on the head when it comes to like the 1990s R&B shit, man. Like all of the tropes, man, from the fucking one tier where they transition to going into the rain and shit, to the nigga talking all over the beat. Like they hit everything, man. So yeah, and it took a twist, man. The whole thing about it being about Barack Obama, man, singing a love song to Barack Obama, considering all of the shit that we got going on right now, man. That was that was funny to me, man. I enjoyed watching that, and I hope you guys did too, man. But yeah, man, we are back. It is after Thanksgiving. It is after Black Friday, man. And we are back on the mic, and we are back to like living somewhat normally, at least for the next few weeks until, you know, the Christmas and there and New Year's or whatever else. But before we get into everything, so how you doing, Stephanie? Before we get into everything, before I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me right here at the Spare Report. Let your voices be heard, man. You can go ahead, hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those messages right here on the show and respond to you right here on the show. And if you like, you can call into the show live, man. I have the phone lines open while we're doing this. So, yeah, you can call into the show live while we're doing the show. Also, hit me up on the email at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave those emails, and of course I'll read those here and respond to those here live on the show as well. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your boy throughout the week. iTunes and or Stitcher Radio reviews are very much appreciated. So I would like for you guys to go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio, leave those 5-star reviews. The 5-star reviews get read on the show. You can leave another review, it just won't get read, right? So go ahead, leave those 5-star reviews on the show, and I'll read those here live as well, man. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can watch the replays of the show later. You can download the show and listen to the show on your phones from the website. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments on the website. Everything there, man, like the whole shebang. So go ahead to the www.thespanreport.com and get your Span Report fixed there, man, real talk. But, yeah, it is good to be back on the mic. Had a, you know, like, it wasn't a whole lot going on here for Thanksgiving, man, but, you know, just enough to keep a nigga away, right? So, yeah, we're gonna get into a little bit of that, here in a second. Now, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about this past weekend, man. Like, of course, you guys, last time I talked to y'all, like I told you, like, my wife had to work, and so, you know, we really couldn't do our Thanksgiving thing the way that we would typically do it because of her job or whatever else, right? And it kind of threw a monkey wrench into a whole lot of little things. Man, I was actually supposed to be on an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips last week, and that kind of, like, you know, that was a fuck up on my bad. Like, I straight up overbooked a whole bunch of shit. But, like, it gave me an opportunity. Me, my wife, and my in-laws, man, we went out to, Cliff Bell's in Detroit, man. It's a really nice jazz spot. And I would implore a lot of people, man, if you really like live jazz and, like, live instrumentation and stuff like that, Cliff Bell's is a really good spot to go check out. So we got a chance to do that, man. This was the first time that my brother and I actually had a chance to spend Thanksgiving together in about 15 years. Yeah, like, it's been a long time since me and him had actually been together for a holiday. So it was really just me and my brother, man. Like, me and my brother chilling out, watching movies, eating food, man, like, kind of reminiscing and whatnot. Now, interestingly enough, although I don't really like talk, like, I guess I can, like, say this, right? So, my brother hasn't, you know, he's been away for a while. And so he's learning how to move in this new world, right? So when my brother went away, like, there was no such thing as, like, an Android or an iPhone, right? There was no such thing as a Facebook or a Twitter. So, like I've been finding myself having to kind of coach him along on this whole social media thing, man. Folks is out here really trying to, like, catfish my brother, man. Like, they out here catfishing him, man. And, you know, it's hard for him to understand, like, you know, like, some of these pictures ain't really, you know, real pictures. And understand, my brother's been locked down for 12 years, and he's got a certain something on his mind, you know, to kind of, so it's like, it's been real kind of hard to, like, kind of coach him along with that. Like, you know, I can't really help you go out here and get that, but I can tell you, like, some of the pitfalls and some of the tricks that I use on people like you, like, on people like him, where, like, you know, they're trying to video chat with him, but tell him they need a credit card number in order for him to get the video chat and stuff like that. And, you know, like, sending them, you know, pictures or whatever else, and he's posting them on Facebook. Like, nah, man, that's not what you do. That's not what you do. So yeah, man, it's a lot going on, man, but it's been a real interesting time. Like, me and my brother kind of really trying to get to know one another again, because a lot has changed over the last 12 years. My life has changed quite a bit. His life has changed quite a bit. And he's trying to catch up, and he's trying to, he's trying to reacquaint himself with the world, so to speak. So it's going to be real interesting these next few months, these next few years with my brother, right? So, yeah, that's been going on. But I got a question for y'all, man. Like, you know, it's Thanksgiving, or Thanksgiving is past and whatnot, and we're moving on to newer and, you know, like newer holidays and, you know, more festive holidays, so to speak. But I got to wonder, man, like, how many of y'all still out here eating that Thanksgiving, those Thanksgiving leftovers, right? Am I the only one? Show of hands, chat room, y'all eating Thanksgiving leftovers still? No, I'm the only one. Okay. So yeah, see, I got this thing, right? See, my wife was trying to tell me, she was like, yo, you probably should stop eating that, right? She's like, yo, I made that turkey like Wednesday. Oh, okay, that's what's up. I ain't the only one. So Stephanie, like, yeah, she doing it too. But yeah, so like my wife was like, yo, I made that turkey Wednesday. It's now Sunday. You should probably not be eating that right now. But see, the thing is, like, there's so much food. There was so much food left, and there was so much turkey left. I didn't really want that to go to waste. And I kind of feel like the microwave would kind of kill off, you know, whatever. Now, I know this sounds really, like, crazy, but, like, I kind of figure, like, the microwave may kill off whatever may, like, be lurking or whatever. Not that I'm just saying, I didn't think anything was wrong with the food is what I'm saying. Like, we properly store it or whatever else, man, and I warm it up in the microwave and it kills off stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying the turkey is still good to me, goddammit, right? And so I was just kind of wondering, like, how long is too long to still be eating Thanksgiving leftovers, right? Like, how long? Like, what is your cutoff day? Like, I know, here's the thing. I know there's a lot of people who don't like leftovers, period, right? They don't eat leftovers whatsoever throughout the year. So the fact that when Thanksgiving comes around, they hate it because, you know, moms and dads across the country are like, hey, man, I ain't cooking nothing tonight. Y'all know damn well there's some of that Thanksgiving food in there. Y'all better eat that. Especially if you grew up in a black home, right? Like, you grew up in a black house and they had Thanksgiving Day leftovers and you thought y'all was going to get pizza 2 days later. You're like, it's still macaroni and cheese in there. You still got some of that damn dressing in there. You still got some of that turkey in there. You got them greens in there. Shit, you got some potato salad in there. Shout out to summer, man. But, but yeah, man, like, how long is too long to continue to eat Thanksgiving leftovers? Man, that was something I was thinking about because I'm still eating some of the turkey that was left over from Thanksgiving, man. And here we are. Let's see, if my wife cooked that on Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days, man. We working on 4 days on these leftovers. So yeah, it might be time to go ahead and retire that, right? So yeah, that's going on. Now, another random thing that I was kind of thinking about, and I may have mentioned this earlier in the week, I'm not really sure, but you know, with all of the stuff that's going on with, like, you know, the sexual harassment, sexual molestation, sexual assault, you know, cases being brought out and people are coming forward and talking about, you know, everything that's happened to them, man, you know, and we're seeing guys get put out to paint, man, like Kevin Spacey is getting put out to paint, you know, you got, what's that, Louis C.K., man, like, he's had five women come out and say he was acting inappropriately towards them. You got John Conyers, a congressman from right here in Michigan, from Detroit, who is now stepping down as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives because of sexual harassment allegations being leveled at him, and he's stepping aside from that. And I was just sitting up here wondering, man, like, man, with all of this shit going on, how in the hell is Charlie Wilson going on tour with fucking R. Kelly? Like, how is that a thing? Like, really? Like, how are we still... How is that? How is R. Kelly still out here, like, you know, going on tour with all of this shit, especially with everything going on with him? And better yet, how does Charlie Wilson still feel comfortable doing shows with R. Kelly like that? Right. Considering everything that we know about R. Kelly and everything that we know surrounding R. Kelly. Now, I'm sure Charlie Wilson is just grateful that R. Kelly wrote him a few hits and kind of extended his career a little bit. But goddamn, bro, for real. Come on, man. So, yeah, man, that was a couple of the random thoughts that I had on my mind, man. Like, just something to think about. Something to think about. Yeah, man. So, we going to, like, kind of get right on into this, man. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, and I want to get into I want to make sure that I cover all of this stuff because, of course, not Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead comes on tonight, and I want to talk about it. Well, I'm going to watch The Walking Dead. I want to live tweet The Walking Dead. And so that's what I'm going to do. That's why we're doing the show at 7 o'clock and at 9, right? So, yeah, man, we're going to get right in here into the news. All right. Now, one of the things that I saw that was in the news that I thought was really interesting was that Angela Rye, CNN contributor, you know, she's a political commentator over at CNN. She's been receiving death threats, and the death threats are tied to her actually being involved with the rapper Common. Now, I'm trying to figure out, like before, when you read this headline, you try to figure out, like, the first thing that comes to mind, like, wait, hold up. I know goddamn well Common ain't got, like, a Beyonce-type hive that's coming at somebody's neck because she's with Common and they not with Common. And now, like, you see that every now and again, man, with, like, jealous fans that get mad at the girlfriend or whatever because she's with the dude that they all fantasize about and whatnot. And you read the headline, you're like, man, she's getting death threats because of her relationship with Common. But then you got to go in and, of course, you got to read the story. So this here comes out of hotnewhiphop.com. I don't know if this is really reputable, but we're going to read this shit anyway. It says, back in September, Common and CNN reporter Angela Rye decided to officially make their relationship public after showing up to the Creative Arts Emmys and posing on the red carpet together. However, since then, it appears that Angela has been receiving death threats sent her way, and TMZ reports, that some of it is tied to her dating the Chicago MC and actor Common. According to court documents, Rye said she's receiving annoying, harassing, and threatening messages on her phone, social media, and email. She said at first they were just annoying and derogatory, but they got scary and serious when the sender got more specific. Angela and Common reportedly became an item in couple over the summer, and cops say that some of the messages she received had referenced locations the two visited that were not publicized, which is scary in itself. But then on August 5th, Rye got an email that included the following. Your dumb ass gonna be found in the river, and let me catch your ass. I'm gonna put the paws on you. Put the paws on you? Okay. I don't want to say scrappy, right? You know, because that, like, I don't really hear anybody saying that, but scrappy. But could this be like a love and hip hop plot? Could it? I don't know. I would hope they don't go, like, they don't stoop this far on this shit, right? But yeah, pause on you, whatever. It says Angela and Common reportedly became an item in couple. I read that part already. As a result, LAPD obtained search warrants to dig through the sender's social media. As of right now, the threat management division is reportedly on the case and looking into it, but not much else is known to the public. TMZ didn't clarify if the death threats had anything to do with Common or if he was just coincidentally with her on the dates over the summer. But regardless, stalkers and haters on that level ain't nothing to play with. Hopefully this issue is resolved as soon as possible. Now, you know, one can kind of hope that this is innocuous and, like, just annoying and something that, although you want to take these sort of things seriously, that's something that doesn't have any real backing to it. You would hope for something like that. The person who is responsible for this shit needs to go to jail, needs to have their ass. I would personally, like, volunteer to, like, kind of kick them in a nuts 100 times. Like, I would volunteer for that. I would pay for that opportunity. We need more of that, like, public ball kickings, man. We need that. But yeah, man, like that, like, the idea that someone would send you death threats because of your association with Common, and Common is like a fucking, like one of the most non-controversial rappers of all time. Like, I remember he had like a beef with Drake, and that was like the softest beef ever. And it was basically over the fact that both of them were dating Serena or had been involved with Serena at some point in time. And like, that was the softest beef ever. That beef was like soft as toilet paper, bro. Like, nobody really took that shit seriously. And like, even when Common was beefing with, like, say for instance, Ice Cube way back in the day when he made the Bitch in You, like, nobody really thought Common was like kind of rah-rah gonna whoop your ass like that. Now, I did see John Wick too, but of course, yeah, all that shit is kind of choreographed, right? We ain't thinking Common out here putting hands on nobody like that. He might, but we ain't thinking like that. So I'm just trying to see. It can't be just that. But yeah, man, that's going on, and that is in the news. Another thing, man, that's in the news as of late, man, and this is also concerning something that's going on with Chicago. 15 men were all exonerated out of Cook County because they were falsely arrested due to they were framed by the Chicago PD. Like, this story here comes out of WGN.com. It says on Thursday, the Cook County State's attorney dropped charges against 15 men who said they were framed by former cop Sergeant Ronald Watts and his team of officers. Cook County prosecutors made the request Thursday as 10 of the men stood before Judge Leroy Martin Jr. The 15 men together had 18 convictions. All of them were convicted in 2003 to 2008 for drug crimes. Some of them men were already free, but some of them were still serving time. The men alleged that Watts and his team of officers planted the drugs on them, framed them, and falsified police reports. If you're going to pay Watts, if you're not going to pay Watts, you were going to jail, said the newly exonerated Leonard Gibson, who suffered multiple convictions at the hands of Sergeant Watts when he refused to pay money. I went to jail and did 2 years, 24 months for Watts. I came back home. He put another case on me. Damn. Said Joshua Tepfer of the Exoneration Project of the University of Chicago is representing the men whose petitions he filed in September and those which Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox has agreed. Sergeant Watts and Officer Khalat Muhammad were convicted and are now free, but as many as 7 other officers are still on the job but have never been charged. Now, how fucking scary is that? That you know of these 7 other officers, they have never been charged for any kind of crime, they've never been reprimanded for any wrongdoing whatsoever, and yet they're still on the job and they're still able to operate with impunity out here on the streets. And you wonder why. You wonder why the police reputation within the neighborhoods that they occupy and police and patrol, you wonder why the attitudes towards them is so fucked up. It's because when they do fuck up, when they are out here doing this grimy shit, they're not even held responsible for it. They're not held accountable for it. And it's always funny how the people, the citizens, though the criminals, even are held to a higher standard of accountability than the people who we've given charge and badges and deadly weapons to enforce the law. It's crazy how that works. It says Tepfer said the officers targeted men living in the Southside housing project from the early 2000s for over a 10-year period by framing them, by creating evidence and planting drugs on them, and at times taking their proceeds. He said it was a systemic in nature, and those at the highest levels of the Chicago Police Department knew about it and did nothing to stop it. This corruption was covered up by the highest levels of the Chicago Police Department. He said it was swept under the rug. Officers Muhammad and Watts served less than 3 years. That's all they did was less than three. All they got was less than 3 fucking years for everything that they put 15 at least. This is just 15 that they know about. They put at least 15 people behind bars through falsifying evidence, and all they got was less than 3 years. Tepfer said they and the others in the circle continue to cooperate to operate despite investigations by Internal Affairs, the State's Attorney's Office, and the FBI. So yeah, man. Chicago, man. Like, I've had my own experiences with them. The police there, man. It's fucked up, man. I mean, they have a history of this kind of shit, all the way back to, like, say, for instance, the murdering of Fred Hampton, man. Like, the Chicago Police Department has a really fucked up reputation, a real bad reputation for just overstepping their bounds and being extrajudicial with their practices, man. We saw that with Laquan McDonald. We saw that with the way they handled go back to Fred Hampton, man. Like, these incidences of the police in Chicago being overly aggressive in their tactics, man, is well documented and well noted, man. Real talk. Another thing that's going on in the news, man, and this has kind of been a big thing on the news as of late. I've been talking about this for quite some time, and I talked about this quite a bit last year, and that particular thing is net neutrality, right? And so you know, as of right now, we're coming up on a time where we're actually coming up really close to where the decision of repealing net neutrality is going to be made. I believe that decision is going to be made around December 14th, where the FCC is considering repealing the net neutrality. Now, one of the things about this particular thing, man, is I kind of want to say this, and I don't want to come off, I'm probably going to anyway, despite my attempts not to, but I'm going to come off a little bit preachy, is the fact that this was something that was on the ballot unofficially, right? This is something that we had to think about. This was something that had ramifications that we were not really considering at the time, that a lot of us maybe not was really considering at the time when we came time to vote, right? And this is where, you know, this is one of those things to where you don't necessarily think that your vote counts, but this will affect you, right? So, like, you know, a lot of times, man, especially when those who are apathetic about the political process and you don't participate in it and you don't believe that these things affect you on a daily basis, this is one of those examples as to where these things can actually affect you on the daily basis, right? So with net neutrality, basically what the rules of net neutrality was trying to accomplish was a free flowing internet for all. You pay for access to the internet and you got the entire internet. Like, nothing was shut off from you unless, of course, something was put behind a paywall or you had to pay for a subscription or whatever else. But nothing was shut off from you. You had access to all of the information available on the internet, right? And what net neutrality, or the repealing of net neutrality, could mean is the changing of that, where now some of the bigger players, or the internet service providers, can determine what gets better access than others, right? So say, for instance, you like watching Hulu on your television, right? Because a lot of people are cutting the cord. Well, they say cutting the cord, when really they're not cutting the cord, they're just cutting the cable box. Because chances are your internet is provided to you through a cable company or the telephone company, right? Either AT&T, Comcast, Time Warner, Charter, one of the major cable companies, they're providing you with the internet. So you're still tied to a cable company some sort of way, but you're not getting the television packages, right? But you want to sign up for Hulu and you think that, hey, Hulu, you see that Hulu has live TV now. You're going to stream all of your television through the internet and everything's going to be good, right? And then you find out that because Hulu doesn't want to pay a surcharge to the internet service provider that you have, then Hulu is now blocked from access to your home. You can't access Hulu because of the agreement that they decided that they didn't want to spend extra money to broadcast on those networks or to broadcast on that particular cable provider or that internet service provider, right? And so with net neutrality was trying to basically treat these internet service providers like utilities, right? They were treating them like utilities because of the fact that, like, yo, if you think about it right now, it's a lot, like, the internet is a lot more than just searching for shit, right? The internet is kind of all encompassing in our lives now. Like, you need the internet for access to a lot of information. You need the internet to do a lot of banking. Some of us pay our bills through the internet. Sometimes some of us, we watch our television through the internet. We get our entertainment through the internet. We do our homework through the internet. Some of us even use the Internet of Things, right? So I use things like Google Home, and I use things like Chromecast, and I use things like my Xbox One. Like, all of these things are tied to the internet. You can't play a lot of these video game systems without having an internet connection to them at all, right? Your cell phones. Like, T-Mobile was doing a thing a couple years ago where, you know, they'd have this thing called Binge On. And if you paid for Binge On, you got access to all of these video apps, wouldn't be charged against your data cap, right? So you can watch YouTube and you can watch HBO Go and you can watch Hulu, but you couldn't watch Crackle, or you couldn't watch Daily Motion or something like that on YouTube without a cap, or on your phone without a count against your data cap. Basically, and I hope I'm being clear with this, basically, the internet service providers determine the winners and the losers as to who gets access to what on the internet. And the Trump administration has made it a point to repeal a lot of the policies that the Obama administration before it had put in place. So we're going to read this story here. It comes out of Blavity.com. And it says, on November 16th, the Federal Communications Commission voted in a three to two split in favor of the Republican Party opting to roll back Lifeline. This is actually something different, but actually related. It says, opting to roll back Lifeline, the technology service used to provide home and internet access to low-income families. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai stated prior to the vote that the objective of implementing such a change would help reduce the waste, fraud, and abuse that continue to accost the Lifeline program. Ratifications will include the removal of an additional $25 a month subsidy for individuals who reside on tribal lands. The organization also voted to incorporate a spending cap for Lifeline, barring resellers, telecom providers, and the like from offering Lifeline plans to inquiring customers. Republicans rejoiced over the agency's decision to transition the program over to the jurisdiction of the states. States play an important role in preventing waste, fraud, and abuse in federal programs, in addition to ensuring that people have access to essential communication services, said in a statement on Thursday. Now, think about what this means. We already have a dearth of access to a lot of information, especially internet access, in a lot of places. Even in Detroit, a major metropolitan area like Detroit has what some would call like an information desert, where internet access or high speed internet access isn't available. And a lot of times, folks' only access to the internet is a cell phone connection. That's their only access to the internet. So even despite all of the money that we pay for internet in America, like, you know, my like Comcast is like $60 a month. Like, we pay the most money in the world for internet access, and we have some of the slowest speeds in the developed world for internet access. Already, these cable companies are already trying to get you to pay more while providing less. Right. I remember like back in the day, man, you remember like you used to get basic cable and you got like ESPN was a part of your basic package and shit. And like, you know, you got ESPN, you got CNN, you got all of the news channels and shit like that, man. And now in order for you to get something that used to be a part of the basic package like ESPN, you got to buy a sports package, which includes like 6 or 7 different fucking channels that you don't even watch, but you just get those because you want to watch ESPN. Same thing, man. Like with this here, with them. Opting to try to take away resources from those who can already least afford to not have these resources. This is what they're celebrating right now, right? This is what they're celebrating. They're taking away internet access, taking away the subsidies that would provide internet access to the least of us, to those who can least afford not to have this. They're taking it away from them, and they're celebrating while they're doing it. It says critics, however, fear that a spending cap could potentially inhibit the program's effectiveness and are concerned that a reseller ban would make it difficult for Lifeline recipients to outsource telecommunication providers that will support the program. Democrats rebut that these alterations to the low-income housing program are based on outdated research, so by giving the states more power over the usage of Lifeline, they would curtail access to the internet for many poor communities. And that's the furthest thing we need at a time like this, right? At a time like this, we need as much access to information as we can possibly get. Like, we're living in a time now where we actually have to question whether the news we're getting is legitimate, right? And so when you can dumb down the population, when you can tamp down the amount of information that people are allowed to get to or allowed to have access to, then you continue to, basically they're looking to kind of solidify a less informed voter block, right? A less informed voter, a low information voter. Like, this is the thing that Republicans do. Like, they require, they lean on the least of, like, they, those of us who are least informed on the issues to continue their, you know, to continue the way that they kind of operate, man. So, like, this is one aspect of net neutrality, the taking away of resources from the taking away of internet access from the least of us, from those who can least afford not to have it. But one of the things that I really want us to consider about, like, say for instance, access to the internet and like net neutrality and everything else, like, say for instance, like, this podcast is very anti-Trump. I made no motherfucking bones about it. I'm very clear on my perspective on how I feel about Donald Trump. I'm very clear on what like this whole thing means to me. Like, I make no bones about it, right? But think about this. You can access this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on my website, on many other different like platforms I actually had never really heard of until I just searched my name on Google and certain, you know, places start popping up. You can access this. But with net neutrality, what could end up happening, there's no guarantee of this, but what could end up happening is, because this isn't a dissenting voice to this administration, then that access to my podcast, that access to a lot of other voices, dissenting voices, could be curtailed because they've decided, okay, well, Span, you pay X amount of dollars per month to have your podcast broadcast from your website, right? Now, we charge you this amount of money, right now. You seem to be able to afford that. But how about we charge you this amount of money, and it might just be a little bit outside of my purview or a little bit outside of my reach as far as my finances are concerned to keep this thing going so that I can continue to broadcast this show in the way in which I broadcast this show. You've already seen instances of net neutrality and the effect of net neutrality already. Somebody like a company like Netflix, right? Netflix accounts for 36% of all internet traffic in America. Think about that. Netflix is huge. Netflix's impact on the internet in America, their usage daily, accounts for 36%. More than a third of the internet usage in America is dedicated to Netflix. So you got a lot of internet service providers who would like to kind of cut into Netflix's, you know, cut into their business model. Like they're tying up our networks, and these people are watching shows on Netflix, and they're cutting our cable packages. They're not even using our cable packages anymore. They're watching Netflix. They're watching Hulu. So guess what they did? Like Comcast wanted to charge Netflix more money in order for them to actually be able to broadcast on their network, right? And Netflix was like kind of, you know, fighting it off. And eventually they saw the writing on the wall, especially after the Trump, got installed. And they went on ahead and they did a partnership. And now you've noticed, I don't know if anybody, you know, but most of you may have noticed that Netflix is now included with your Comcast cable. You can access Netflix through Comcast. Now they'll tell you like it's a convenience, it's a service that you have with Comcast. But that was only because Comcast was trying to raise the prices on Netflix to keep them from being able to broadcast on their internet. That's what happened. And so you're going to find out a lot of a lot of big internet service providers are going to try to squeeze if they're squeezing the big guys, yeah, that's going to all trickle down to the rest of us. We're going to end up paying more for the access that we have. The things that we have become accustomed to, you're going to end up paying more money for it. Can you imagine having, like, say, for instance, your cell phone and you got your data package, right? You pay probably $100 a month for your data package. And then all of a sudden, you know what? They were like, you know what? OK, yeah, you got a data package, but then we're going to charge you another $2 a month to use Instagram. Now, Instagram doesn't cost you anything right now, and Instagram isn't charging you anything right now. But because you want to use Instagram on our network, we want to charge you another $2. Oh, you want to use Facebook too? Okay, yeah, that'll be another $2. Oh, and you really do want to use that HBO Go? Now, I know HBO is charging you $15, but if you want to watch that on our network, you're going to also pay us another $3. This is what this means. Not only can they squeeze out the little people, but then they can also make it less affordable for you to do the things that you're already doing. And so this was on the ballot last year, right? This was on the ballot. And I talk about like our apathy towards the political process. You know, some of the people who kind of looked at last year's election and thought that Hillary Clinton was the same side of the flip side of the same coin to Donald Trump, who thought that, you know, this was something that wasn't going to really affect us on the day to day. That's something that we can kind of just, it was a lot of brothers. It was kind of lackadaisical about it, right? But this is something that, you know, I think we really didn't pay attention to last year. This was on the ballot last year. And I'm going to need us to be a bit more engaged, right? Now, we've seen signs of it. You know, we've seen signs of it. We, you know, talk about Democratic, you know, wins in the last, you know, elections and stuff like that. And, you know, people talk about, you know, Roy Moore and Alabama being vulnerable with the sexual harassment and sexual assault allegations coming out about him. But I'm really talking to like a lot of people, man. We got to be more actively engaged and paying attention to these issues. These issues are going to affect you, whether or not you believe it is or not. Now, I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to talk about the sky is falling when it comes to this, because I don't know. I believe that, the first thing is, I don't believe that these corporations, these mega conglomerates have our best interests at heart. Like these companies are already making money hand over fist, and they're not investing in infrastructure in the way that they have, you know, they should be. Like Google was out here, you know, they were building up a fiber optic, you know, gigabyte system for the internet, and that was only coming to certain cities. But these are things that we should have already had, and it shouldn't have taken just one company coming into a city to create competition. Because if you think about it, a lot of these cable companies don't have much competition in the cities that they operate in. There's Comcast, like here in the Michigan area, like especially around the Detroit area in the suburbs. There's Comcast, and then there's UVerse, and then there's Dish, and then there's that's it. So if you really want cable, like the fastest internet, yeah, you're gonna deal with Comcast. AT&T is kind of fast, not as fast as Comcast. I know, because I had them both. Right? And even sometimes my internet here in my house, I got internet boosters in my basement, and I need to put one in my living room because my Wi-Fi don't even cover my whole house. So I say all that to say, man, you know, we really got to be more active and intuitive with the political process, man. And our votes do have consequences, or our non-votes have consequences. And we talk about the political process and people being apathetic, man. I always tell people this, man, like if your vote was not important, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take that shit away from you. Right? Like they trying so hard to take it away from you. Like you think about what happened in some of these elections over the course of the last few weeks, man. Like say, for instance, like Virginia, Terry McAuliffe was the governor in Virginia before this last election. One of the things that Terry McAuliffe did in Virginia was that he actually gave felons the right to vote back. Right. He gave them their right to vote. Those dudes now are franchised. They can now they can vote in elections. They can vote on referendums. They can make their voices heard in the political process, and they can now be heard. And Republicans didn't want any part of that. And they're trying to strip those rights again if they could. Right. But these votes, if they weren't so important, man, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take them away from you. So it's important that we use them, and it's important that we pay attention to the issues, and it's important that we vote on the issues that affect us on the day-to-day basis, even if we don't see these things all the time. Like I guarantee you, everybody's not going to be all encompassed in everything. But it's important that we pay attention to these things. And yeah, man, that net neutrality shit is kind of scary. I don't want to talk about the sky, you know, falling and shit like that, but it was something I felt was very important to talk about here tonight on the Span Report, man. Real talk. Now, of course, man, we can't go like all doom and gloom all show, right? Because that was kind of heavy. But hold on just a second, because we got another one. We got a story that this is becoming a kind of a segment in and of itself. Let's see here. Excuse me. So yeah, let's do this here. 1, 2, 3 and all right. So this story here, let's see, this comes out of this story here comes out of BET.com. And somebody else famous is getting divorced. Let me turn Granddaddy down. All right. Got to shut him down a little bit. But yeah, so this story here comes out of BET.com. Jill Scott is getting divorced from her husband. And wait a second. Let me pull up the original. This isn't the whole thing. All right. So it says, after only 15 months of marriage, Jill Scott, 45, is splitting from Mike Dobson, 49, according to Boston.com. The two are ending their marriage because of irreconcilable differences and inappropriate marital... the two are ending their marriage because of irreconcilable differences and inappropriate marital conduct, that such further cohabitation would be unsafe and improper. God damn. It says, Dobson exclusively told Boston that he was blindsided by the divorce filing. He also said, okay, Jesus. Let me turn Granddaddy down, man. Jesus Christ. I had another version of that, man. I don't know what the hell happened to it. But okay. So we gonna go back to this. It says, Dotson exclusively told Boston that he was blindsided by the divorce filing. He said that she's an evil woman, I'm telling you. It's like what Jill Scott wants, Jill Scott gets. People are in her ear, and if someone comes in to challenge the dumb shit, they made me the bad guy. And they got me up out of there. She's got issues. There's no men in that family. There's only women. And when a man comes in, it's like a challenge. Homeboy started to sound, he sounded a little ashy, man. He says, well, damn. His harsh words didn't stop there. He added, she's made other men look bad, but I'm not the one. I don't know, bro. It said, I said to her, you met your match. So you like, you competing with her? She likes to have men that she can control. You're not going to control me. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. He also is ready for the fight dirty. I told her she's from Philly, but I'm from New York. Ah, oh, here we go. I'm from New York. He's all, he almost reminds me of what said, what's my man name? Like the dude that sounds like, he's like the, remember Cisco from Love and Hip Hop New York? Not him, but the other dude that's kind of like a Cisco knockoff that's on there right now. He was fucking around with Mariah Lynn. Like he's giving me those vibes right now. Like I'm from New York, son. Like I ain't dealing with this shit, bitch. I'm from New York. Like these New York niggas, man. Like y'all show your boy Span some love, man. But sometimes, man, y'all be showing like sometimes these cornballs coming out of there, man. They don't represent y'all well, man. Real talk. It says, ranting to the gossip site is definitely a great start to playing dirty. This is unfortunate. We're still sure that Jill will take the high road. We wish her well during this rough time. Check out a photo from their wedding in June 2016. Man, they look so happy then. They look so happy. That's unfortunate, man. Like I said, I hate to hear or see of anybody, you know, his marriage is coming to an end. You know, especially when you would think that these people are happy. You would hope that these people are happy, but no, that's not what happened. And so, as Granddaddy say, it's cheaper to keep it, but yo, man, peace of mind is priceless, right? So yeah, man, that peace of mind, you cannot put a price on that. But yeah, man, Jill Scott and her husband getting divorced, man. That was in the news, but we got another segment coming up, man, and y'all know what this is, man. Y'all have come to love it, and that is
what in blue blazes is going on out here. Nigga just say blue blazes.
All right, so in here in What in Blue Blazes, man, we got some shit that's going on. It's kind of, let's say Ray Allen, man. Ray Allen is in like this in Blue Blazes for a very unfortunate reason. It says this story here comes out of ESPN.com. It says retired NBA star Ray Allen said he's a victim of catfishing and has asked the court to throw out a case in which he is accused of stalking someone he met online. Allen filed an emergency motion in Orange County, Florida on Tuesday, one day after Bryant Coleman told the court that he is being stalked by the 10-time All-Star and 2-time NBA champion. Allen said Coleman is the one who is stalking. Wait a minute. Okay, so Coleman pretended to be a member of Attractive Women Interested in Ray Allen, read the motion filed on Allen's behalf. Ray believed he was speaking with these women and communicated with them. So he thought he was Ray thought he was about to get him a harem? Come on, Ray. Come on, brother. So catfishing refers to a person who creates a fake profile on social media to trick someone. The term came into common usage with the 2010 documentary Catfish and later an MTV show of the same name that explored online dating. Attorney David Oscar Marcus released a statement saying that Allen took legal action in an effort to end threats against him and his family, and that Allen was a victim of an online scheme to extract money and embarrass him by someone who appeared to be trouble. In the filing, Allen said Coleman threatened to reveal details of their conversations and that the sides eventually struck a deal to keep everything private. So he was being extorted. Since Allen said that the deal was being violated and that Coleman has continued to harass him and his family through several social media accounts. He posted about Ray's wife, Ray's children, Ray's dog, Ray's homes, Ray's wife's restaurant, and numerous other personal items. So hold up. I thought that Ray Allen might have been married, but I was like, man, maybe Ray Allen was like, you know, maybe he got divorced or something. Maybe things, you know, was, you know, maybe they weren't, you know, maybe he was part of the Cheaper to Keeper crew and whatnot. And like, he got divorced or whatever else. And, you know, maybe he was a little lonely, you know what I'm saying? But like, apparently Ray Allen out here trying to cop him a harem, ended up getting extorted while trying to cop the harem. And now he's in this trouble. That's what it sounded like to me. It says Coleman not only posted about these things, he would actually post while physically located inside Ray's wife's restaurant in Orlando, and he would make sure they knew it, tagging Ray and his wife on those posts. Allen asked the court to stop Coleman from cyberstalking. It is not clear if Coleman has an attorney and a working phone number for him could not be found. Ray regrets ever engaging with this person online and is thankful they never met in person, Marcus said. The experience has negatively affected Ray, and he hopes that others might use this as a mistake to learn the dangers of communicating online with strangers. I wonder if, like, Ray Allen's wife kind of hit him. Like, hold on, man. I'm imagining I'm imagining when Ray Allen had to tell his wife how he came into contact with this person. They had to go a little bit something like this. Hold on just a second. Damn it. It had to go a little bit. It had to be something like this.
I want being lonely. I'ma do what the fuck I wanna do.
What? What you gonna do?
I said I'm tired of waiting for your ass. I hate you. I'ma have me a man, boo-boo. A man who wants to be with me and my baby and have a family. A real man, Jody. Not some little boy who still want to live at home with his mama.
Fuck you. Kiss my ass. Go on out in these streets and be a little trick if you want to. I should knock you the fuck out, girl.
Yeah, that's not funny, but I kind of imagine maybe that's what happened when she found out that he was out here fucking around and got caught up on the catfish thing. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole thing sounds a little confusing to me. But yeah, man, Ray Allen out here getting catfish, man. That's a bad look, right? Real bad look for Jesus Shuttlesworth is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that's going on, man. Another thing, man, that's going on in the motherfucking Blue Blazers, man. Now, this would be funny if it would. Well, it is funny still. It is funny still. But it's sad at the same time, right? So, apparently, there's a group of Trump supporters who are actually coming at LeVar Burton because they're confusing him with LeVar Ball. Yeah, man. So we get this story here out of Bloomberg.com, man. This actually is written by the Associated Press. It says that actor LeVar Burton, President Donald Trump is feuding with LeVar Ball, and LeVar Burton is taking the hit on Twitter. Burton is an actor best known for playing Lieutenant Geordi LaForge in Star Trek on TV and film, and for championing kids' education through the Reading Rainbow series. Now, I'm sure this has been noted, but if Trump supporters were actually able to read, then maybe they would know that LeVar Burton is not LeVar Ball. Like, they would know it, and they wouldn't make no mistake like that. Not only that, they would probably know that LeVar Burton and LeVar Ball don't look alike, and not all black people do. They would probably know that, right? But it says Ball is in the, Ball is the father of Los Angeles Lakers rookie Lonzo Ball and UCLA basketball player LiAngelo Ball, one of three student players recently arrested in China for shoplifting. Trump tweeted that Ball was an ungrateful fool for not being more appreciative of presidential intervention in LiAngelo Ball's case. Some of the president's followers, in turn, attacked Burton on Twitter, with one calling him a has-been actor with a thief for a son. Burton and Ball haven't let the controversy interrupt their holiday plans. Both tweeted Thanksgiving wishes to their followers on Thursday. Now, I'm sure LeVar Burton is a classy guy and like kind of took, you know, once he figured out what was going on, like kind of rolled with the punches on that. But it just speaks to the level of fucking idiocy that goes on with these Trump supporters and their lack of fucking common sense and decency, man. Like, to go on Twitter and just like this one dude, like they said, this one dude said you're a has-been actor with a thief for a son. Now think about this for a second. You think you had the wherewithal to know that LeVar Burton was an actor, but you didn't have the wherewithal to know that LeVar Burton doesn't have kids that play basketball for UCLA and that their father has been all over the fucking televisions for the better part of a year now for a lot of the ridiculousness that he says. Now, you couldn't decipher that LeVar Burton and LeVar Ball, these two guys, weren't the same, but you knew that LeVar Burton was an actor. That level of stupidity is like mind-numbing to me, man. Real talk. Mind-numbing. But that isn't it, man. We got some more shit going on in Blue Blazers. So there's another story. Actually, this is actually an update, man. We got an update here to a story that I thought was really funny. And I thought about making this lady champ of the week this week. I really did. This put a... It warmed my heart, man. It really did. It made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, right? So this story here, you guys remember the lady who had the fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him bumper sticker on her truck, right? So, and the sheriff in Texas was harassing her and trying to get people to point her out so that they can arrest her on disorderly conduct charges, right? So she got arrested for an unrelated charge. And we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Jezebel.com. It says, Karen Fonseca was arrested last Thursday on outstanding fraud charges, which came up after Sheriff Troy Nels targeted her on Facebook for her fuck Trump truck decal. She is now out of jail and has an additional message for the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Nels originally threatened to charge Fonseca with disorderly conduct after seeing the decal on her car and encouraged followers to identify her on his personal Facebook page. Later, he deleted the post and tried to justify his attack on free speech in a press conference. Fonseca ended up in jail anyway after someone ratted her out over an outstanding warrant. Fonseca told reporters that she was skeptical about the timing of her arrest. People abused the badge, in my opinion, and money talks, she said. But she didn't back down, and now she's further exercising her right to free speech and the generous canvas on her truck windows with a new decal for the haters and losers. Fonseca posted a photo on Facebook of her truck, which now reads, "Yeah, fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him. Fuck Troy Nels and fuck you for voting for him." Oh, man. Hold on. Is there like an applause, man? I got to have an applause line, man. But you know what? We'll just go with this. Man, you know what? Better yet, she was.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
She's very fine people. And it warms my heart to see this woman go out here and exercise that free speech, exercise that First Amendment, and let the world fucking know that, yeah, you're a fucking idiot for voting for Trump. And if you support this asshole who arrested her simply for this decal on her truck, when we allow Confederate flags to fly freely in this fucking country, despite the fact that those are the flags of traitors to this country, despite the fact that the fucking South lost that war. Yeah, man. Shout out to her. Kudos to her. She's a goddamn American hero is what I'm trying to say. A goddamn hero. But yeah, man. Yeah. Shout out to her, man. Like I said, she could have been champ of the week this week. And honestly, when I tell you guys who the champ of the week this week is, you ain't going to believe that shit, man. Real talk. You're going to be fucking surprised, man. Now, before we get into that, though, we got to get into another thing, man. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't seen many of these in quite some time, man. And it's time that we kind of like revisit some of these. We revisit this particular segment. We've neglected this particular segment for quite some time, and we haven't been as astute and as aware of these people as they come up. You know, like they come across, and we kind of like gloss over them. But I saw something this week, man. Then I was like, I gotta do it. And so we go into this.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories.
All right, so today, our inductee into the special HOTEP unit this week here on the Spare Report is a dude that goes by the name Mitchell Nkrumah. I think that's how Nkrumah, something like that. He probably made the name up. Who the fuck knows, right? But yeah, Mitchell Nkrumah, this dude, I looked it up, man. He's got a significant following on the Facebook, on these Facebook streets, man. He's got like 90,000 likes on his Facebook profile page, man. He gets thousands of views on his videos on Facebook and whatnot, man. And he's well entrenched into the HOTEP, man. He's well entrenched. And one of the things that kind of brought him to my attention, man, this week was this video that I saw where he kind of dives into the typical HOTEPery of blaming the black woman for basically the state of the community, right? And so on this video, he's questioning whether or not we can hold.
Is there anything that we can hold black women accountable for?
We can't hold.
you accountable for what you wear. We can't hold you accountable for going over a stranger's house.
Okay, so I didn't want that video to auto start, but it started itself anyway. But of course, the video is actually about whether or not you can hold black women accountable for anything. So we're gonna give this here a listen. As a matter of fact, let me share my screen so you guys can check this video out right along with me. Just a second as I pull this up. All right, so we're gonna do this here. And here we go. Let me play it. And what happened to the sound?
For what you wear. We can't hold you accountable for going over a stranger's house in the middle of the night. We can't hold you accountable for drinking yourself unconscious at a party. We can't hold you accountable for dealing with a dude knowing he ain't take care of his first two kids. We can't hold you accountable for only wanting to deal with bad dudes. We can't hold you accountable for taking dudes to child support unnecessarily simply because you're bitter that he doesn't want you anymore. We can't hold you accountable for supporting a feminized version of a man while simultaneously saying there are no real men. We can't hold you accountable for how you raise your kids. We can't even hold you accountable for being women because in 2017, y'all saying there's no gender rules, so there's nothing that a woman should do. Now, y'all know I don't play with the men. I hold the men accountable and I raise them to a high standard. But it seems like y'all don't want to be held accountable for nothing that y'all do. How can we grow together as a race if we just act like men are only ones that gotta change?
All right, so one of the things I think is very interesting, man, with these sorts of videos, man, is we have this, we got this thing where, hold on, let me stop sharing because I see like everything's tiling. So we got this thing, man, where like there's a lot of black dudes who get on like YouTube, who get on Facebook, who get on podcasts all over the place. And their main thing is telling black women how to be black women. We got men out here trying to explain womanhood to women, which I think is mind-numbing, right? Like, it is mind-numbing as it would be for a woman to try to explain manhood to a man, right? I wouldn't expect that. Like, do you see these sort of things coming from other cultures? Like, are Asian dudes out here? Are Asian dudes out here telling Asian women like, yo, this is what we need from you in order for us to be strong as a nation? Like, we need you to act a certain way, and we're going to make these YouTube videos and these Facebook videos in order to tell you how we are dissatisfied with you. Do white people do this? Do Latin people do this? Like, I'm trying to figure it out because I'm wondering if this is just something that we do to ourselves. As much as, like, there's an anti-blackness that's associated with this sort of shit that is sickening, right? It's sickening. And it's these sorts of niggas who try to act as if they should be leaders in the community, right? And you got a bunch of dudes who think that they should be leaders in the community complaining about women not allowing them to be leaders in the community. Think about this. The leaders, the supposed leaders, are complaining that no one is allowing them to lead. How is that? You got a lot of brothers who have this idea of feminism being a man-hating thing, when basically feminism is about the equality of the sexes, right? And the actual challenging of patriarchal norms is scary to them. Scary. To the point where you get a lot of brothers who are like, oh, so what, you a feminist now when you start speaking up on women's issues or speaking up on behalf of equality for women? Then they'll get like, wait, what you doing, man? Like, you speaking up against the group. We can't have that. But there's this idea, man, with these that we can always put the onus of the failures, supposedly the failures of the black community, at the foot of the woman. Right. That we can do that. Like, there's nothing that black men can't be held. Like, it's funny, like, these videos only talk about black women's accountability to the nation or to the black people, right? There's never a video. There's never a video of black men standing up and talking about what it is that we can do. Or better yet, there's never an introspective video. There's never a video talking about the things that we personally could do to be better people and therefore better people towards the outside world. You never see these. At least I haven't seen these from this particular group of people. It's always about what someone else, particularly the black woman, has to do. Now, mind you, black women are already getting beat down by the world. The fact that they're also being beaten down by black men in very public ways is sickening. Considering black men call themselves, you know, a lot of black men would consider themselves protectors of our people and everything else, but you're not very protective in this particular moment. You're coming out in very public ways talking about the deficiencies supposedly of the women who you cohabitate with, who are in these communities with you, who are struggling right alongside you, although you would like to step forward and put yourself in front of them as opposed to treating them like your partner and or helpmate, as some of you who are very religious would say. You want all the grandiose ideals of manhood, but you want to subserve, you want to put women in a subservient position, especially black women. You want to put a black woman in a subservient position in order for you to, in order for you to think that you've achieved manhood. And so for somebody like this to come out with a video and talk about how black women don't take responsibility for anything, that you can't hold a black woman accountable for anything, while ignoring all of the things that are going on in the black community concerning black men. Like, you think about the fact that black men, I think, what was it, 10 to 13% of black men voted for Donald Trump. How detrimental to that was that to the community? How detrimental of that was, like, you know, the fact that, you know, we, by and large, have an issue with equality of the sexes. Now, that's not to say all brothers do, but like, there's a whole lot of brothers that do have an issue with equality amongst the sexes, and we see that manifest itself every day. But yeah, man, like, Mitchell Nkrumah is part of the special HOTEP unit this week here at the Span Report, and that video kind of solidified it. I'd heard of him before, but that one kind of solidified it. But you know what? That's not even the only fucking video this week that I saw that allowed someone to be inducted into the Special HOTEP Hall of Fame. Here's another one, man. This is actually, I actually saw this one today. This came up on my feed, and I'm going to play this here in a second.
Here's the biggest setup. From when girls are young, from like 13, 14, when they start this cycle, they'll put young girls onto the contraceptive pill.
To regulate.
To regulate this cycle. They'll say, you know, some girl, and this is the thing, a lot of black girls are like athletes. You might be in the cheerleader, whatever. Mm-hmm. When women are at the athletic, you know, optimum of athleticism, they don't bleed. You ain't going to bleed.
That's really?
Women are not supposed to bleed. You're not supposed to menstruate. You're supposed to spot.
Y'all hearing this?
Right?
Like, you're not supposed to have a heavy period.
Hold up.
I'm going to say this right off top. I will be very fucking skeptical. Well, first things first. No one has ever said, when I want to get some biological information on the physiology of a woman's body, I'm going to go to the Breakfast Club and I'm going to listen to some random nigga tell me about it. And that's where I'm going to get my information from. And I've talked about how sometimes the Breakfast Club can be somewhat dangerous in the ways in which they'll have people on here and they'll spit this kind of shit. And no one on that show is prepared to like kind of rebut anything that they're saying. Yeah, now you got Charlamagne in the back like, really? But he's just like kind of like letting them kind of spew this shit. And there's the dude who's taking the forefront of this to tell us what a woman's body is supposed to do and how a woman's body is supposed to function. And the woman is only there to co-sign his shit. Like, she's not even there to articulate her own original thought. They only have her here to co-sign the bullshit coming out of this dude's mouth. But I'm going to continue this video and check this out.
Yes. Because of estrogen, why women bleed how they bleed. They're not supposed to bleed.
Medically, we're supposed to bleed only like 3 tablespoons. Now, do you even know a woman? Not even that. It's like spotting. Unless you're...
Now, I got a question for my ladies who are listening right now. How many of you have ever measured how many tablespoons of menstrual blood you shed during your periods? Like, Like, is that a thing? Is it, are women out here really doing this? Are you measuring how much blood you're letting go during your menstrual period? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, it's hard, like, allowing bullshit to be like, just kind of, this is bullshit being spewed on the fucking airways, national airways, and being given credibility because it's being broadcast on these airways in this way, and it's put on urban radio stations across the country. And now it's on YouTube. I mean, now it's on Facebook, and people are watching this on Facebook. This video right now has 2.8 million fucking views. This is being widely disseminated amongst people. This reminds me of the shit that what was my man named Yada. Yada was saying a lot of the same shit, that women, black women, weren't having periods, man. This is not natural. It's not natural for a black woman to have a period. That's something that the European brought to us. This is some pseudoscientific bullshit. Pseudoscientific bullshit, but we're going to continue with this video.
My wife's like that. My wife.
Right.
Because she's always pregnant.
Unless you're on the pill.
Now she's always pregnant, but before that, she rarely bleeds. She doesn't get cramps. Oh, she doesn't.
Right, and that's good. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, this is the thing. So when girls are not bleeding regularly.
Now, this man just said, that's how it's supposed to be. Envy is talking about his wife and how his wife experiences her period. She doesn't bleed heavy. She doesn't get cramps and all these other things. One thing that has to be made plain is that every woman's body is not the same. It should go without fucking saying, but a lot of people don't seem to understand this. It should go without saying that every woman's body is not the same. Every woman's body is not going to react the same way to the same stimuli. In the same way, your body is not going to react to the same stimuli. Every woman's body is not the same. And then to have this dude say, well, that's how it's supposed to be. That gives so many dudes the opportunity to then therefore go to their wives, go to their girlfriends, or even to their daughters, and tell their daughters what their bodies, or how they should expect their bodies to work. And now they have a dude who will never experience a menstrual cycle in his life telling them how to experience a menstrual cycle and what to do for it. Now, mind you, I understand that there's people, there's doctors, there's dudes who are doctors, who are gynecologists, who go to school to learn these certain things and everything else. And I get that. And I'm not going to even try to impugn their knowledge of what they do. But at the same time, I also know that I'm not a woman, and I'm also smart enough to know that I don't know when I don't know something, right? But I will say this. I am, as a dude, not going to tell a woman how she should feel or how her body should react to her period if I'm never going to experience a period in my life. Mansplaining? I think they talk about mansplaining a lot. This is like the epitome of that. Where like a man takes the forefront talking about a woman's menstrual cycle and how her body is supposed to react. And the woman is only a subsequent add-on to the conversation at all. It's amazing to watch this shit happen. But we're going to continue this little video.
Something's got to be wrong. Mm-hmm. So because something's wrong, let's give you the estrogen pill. Because the contraceptive pill is estrogen. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when you take the estrogen pill, now you've got estrogen flowing through your blood and it starts affecting organs. Now, estrogen is a DNA disruptor.
Now, here's the deal.
Because
we've been taught that estrogen is the female hormone. So understand what he's saying right now is estrogen is not the natural female hormone. It's actually
progesterone.
You're blowing my mind, bro.
That's the big deal right here.
So this is the thing. So estrogen is free flowing around the body,
mm-hmm.
right? And it disrupts the endocrine. It's an endocrine disruptor. It's a cellular disruptor. It slows down the mitochondria. Mitochondria in a cell. I don't want to get too technical.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't get the science.
But mitochondria is the engine and the life. It's the vibrancy of the cell.
So when your
mitochondria is operating at its best, you don't get sick.
Mm.
You will not get sick. It keeps your cell pure or charged. So when the estrogen hits the cell, it diffuses into the cellular membrane and gets into the mitochondria, slows it down. When it slows it down, now your cell is not charged. Now white blood cells see the cell as foreign. So white blood cells now start
attacking,
shooting out all kinds of chemicals, and then that's how fibroids are formed. It's the fight between
fibers, it's all kind of tumor.
All kinds of diseases.
All right. So yeah. I would advise a lot of people not to go to the Breakfast Club for your health advice. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that like the Breakfast Club could be, you know, entertaining for a lot of different reasons, man. You get a lot of, you know, celebrities that go there. It's a very big platform, with probably the number one radio station in the country right now as far as urban, you know, radio stations, hip hop and R&B and whatnot. But I would advise anybody, man, go see your fucking doctor. Do not just take something that you heard off of the fucking Breakfast Club and run with that shit and think it's the from God's mouth to your ears, man. Like, real talk. Because this level of fucking ignorance, this level of fucking pseudoscience, man, can get somebody killed. And it can also, get people to, again, this puts false expectations on a woman's body. It can put false expectations on your daughter's body. Can you imagine someone coming to your daughter, your 13 or 14 year old daughter, and telling her your body is not supposed to do that? Although she's going through a lot of changes at that particular point in time in life and dealing with that. And then some dude walks up to her, oh yeah, your body ain't supposed to do that. And he has absolutely no fucking clue what it's like to be a woman. Come on, man. So yeah, that resulted in, that resulted in special hotel being. I don't even know who the fuck those people were. Real talk, I do not even know who they were. But yeah, that is special hotel unit.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special hotel unit. These are their stories.
All right, so we're coming up towards the end of the show, but here's the deal. I don't have an ass hat of the week this week. Now, I had a few candidates of ass hat of the week this week. I mean, Donald Trump always qualifies as the ass hat of the week. He's part of the ass hat Hall of Fame. I could have put the FCC in the ass hat of the week this week, especially with, you know, everything that's going on with net neutrality. That'd have been easy. I could have put in quite a few people in the ass hat, but there's so many repeat offenders, man. And I don't want to keep putting the same people. Like, I got to get some new motherfuckers to put in the ass hat Hall of Fame. So, no ass hat this week. We got a champ this week. We got a champ. And let me go right there.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right, the champ this week here on the Span Report is, y'all ain't gonna believe this shit, man. The champ of the week this week here at the Span Report, man, is it's LeVar Ball. So yeah, LeVar Ball is the champ of the week this week here at the Span Report, and I've talked about LeVar Ball quite a few times here on the show. LeVar Ball even gets talked about on the intro to the show, man. Excuse me. The reason why LeVar Ball is the champ of the week this week here at the Span Report podcast is LeVar Ball has managed to make a dude who's supposed to be the president of the United States of America look even smaller than he already did to a vast majority of the population here in this country. LeVar Ball trolled the fuck out of Donald Trump. Like, trolled the fuck out of him to the tune of free advertising for his ball, Big Baller brand. It's estimated that the exposure that he got came out to about $13 million worth of airtime. LeVar Ball, here's the thing. I've said this, man, numerous times. Like, I hate that LeVar Ball promotes himself above his sons when it is his son's talent that is even making this platform possible. That has always been my beef with someone like a LeVar Ball. Like, I know people who talk about LeVar Ball being the guy at the barbershop. I know people who talk about LeVar Ball being a guy you know, you got in your family. He's that crazy uncle you got. I know people who talk about LeVar Ball just being some crazy motherfucker at the basketball court who's always talking shit. All I know is LeVar Ball does a lot of self-promoting on the back of his sons, and that is the only beef I've ever had with LeVar Ball, and I kind of wish he'd shut the fuck up and let his son's talents do their thing, right? But LeVar Ball is also a very savage business person, and I've never taken that away from him. LeVar Ball has managed to make sure that people know the name of that brand, that people are always aware of that brand concerning that Ball family. Like, he's that brand is first and foremost on people's mind when they think about those, when they think about LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, LiAngelo Ball, and whatever the other son's name is Lus something, right? But, like, the thing is, man, LeVar Ball has made Trump look small. And by doing what he would do normally, he was being himself. He was being an asshole. And he got Trump, the fucking supposed president of the United States, to call him ungrateful. Now, we could always talk, we can acknowledge that Donald Trump makes sure to go after black people and black athletes and stuff like that when he talks about it. And you see this theme a lot when it comes to, you know, the idea that these people are ungrateful for the things that they've been able to accomplish and these things that they've been able to obtain and achieve in the United States of America, despite the fact that there may be some systemic things that have been set in front of them to prevent them from getting that. But despite all of that, black people have been able to kind of achieve all these great and amazing things. LeVar Ball's son has achieved a great and amazing thing by being one of the top players in the world to be able to be in the NBA, right? He's got another son who could be a prospect who did something really fucking stupid, right? And I was one of those people like, yo, like, with LeVar Ball, especially when this story first came out about LiAngelo, you know, coming out and, you know, the stealing and everything else, like, you know, like, yo, man, like, I would want Donald Trump to help me as an American citizen. Like, I would, you know, as much as I don't like his ass, yeah, as the president of fucking United States, I would expect that the president of the United States would speak up on my behalf despite how I feel about his bitch ass, right? And so, like, you got this idea, though, that Donald Trump is, you know, he's in constant need of adoration. He's in constant need of people saying how great he is and all this other shit. And here you got LeVar Ball like, nah, fuck that. He ain't really help us like that. You know, I did some things too. You know what I'm saying? Then you think about it. He kind of is that guy who's always talking shit. I do know a couple guys who's always talking shit. And then you ask them to kind of elaborate on their shit and they can't really tell you a whole hell of a lot because everything that's coming out of their mouth is bullshit. So you kind of do know that guy. You may not necessarily like that guy, but you know him, right? And so, like, this idea that LeVar Ball was able to make Trump look smaller, as much as I do not necessarily agree with much of anything that LeVar Ball does, man, LeVar Ball made Trump look smaller. And for that, LeVar Ball is the champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report. I don't believe it either. So, yeah, man, that's it, man. But I got to go because it's getting close. It's getting close to 9 o'clock and I want to get ready for this Walking Dead episode. But before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead, hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show. Respond right here in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, I will read those emails and respond to you live here on the show as well. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. I think I got a Snapchat page too, is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Like the Mr. Span fan page. We don't really do the fan page much, but go to if you're on Facebook, go into the Span Report hashtag TSRP, the fam group on Facebook, and join the group, man. Get with some like-minded people who also listen to the show and speak about things that we talk about here on the show. Get alerted when I'm going live on the show as well there as well. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. Vote in the polls, leave comments. You can donate to the show. You can listen to the show. You can watch replays of the show. We do this thing live on Crowdcast, but you can watch the replays later. Like, you can do all of that right there at the Span Report. com. But it is time for me to go, and I will talk to you guys soon. So until next time, fam, peace.